I was nervous before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm even more nervous to know this man.
We just gonna move that.
slipped up on old big boy Buck laying there asleep.
I mean, did you learn that the is part of the SEALs training a slip class?
No, it ain't no slip class. No, it ain't no slipping. I mean,
hey everybody, welcome back to the Hayden Outbound Podcast. We're Southern Storytellers. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Jared.
I don't know how much I want to say about Jared right now.
Don't say a no whole lot.
You just want to just
you did just ask, take you off. Did ask if he was packing when he walked in the door. Just know he got his britches on.
Oh, but there it is. Golly.
Is that what we're doing? Okay.
I should have my fix. But hey, now you're talking right here. Let me tell you, you're talking about a Southern man right here. I can't even get this thing open because it's my dang. Right, it looks like something my granddaddy would carry right there. A case, double X knife. And look at that thing, man. Look at that blade, y'all. That's a knife that's been used.
And it's crooked.
It looks like it's been sharpened a few times. Did you put it on a grinder or something?
I think you built
to keep that edge. You got it's a lockback.
It's a lockback. Mm-hmm. Well, where's the lock? Oh, it's on the front end of it. Go. All right. First time holding a knife. Sorry, guys.
I mean, do you think we just leave everything like
that?
I think we should.
Just like that. I think it's all on the table, guys.
It's all on the table.
We'll do this right here to make the people at home feel safer right here. Let's pop all the blades open. So it looks good. If we're gonna do this, let's do it right, boys. There you go. Let's put man's little knife out here.
At any minute.
Whoa, wait a minute. God.
There we go. That way the people at home can feel safe, right?
I don't know how I feel right now.
Unloaded gun on the table.
I'm sweating under my arm.
Well, that speaks for itself, guys. Here we are.
So, I'm just going to let her tell the first story, but just know that this will all come together.
At some point in time.
It will make sense.
Yeah.
Tell us a story, Jerry.
Yeah, so the story I'm going to tell, and we'll talk about it throughout, but the most important thing anybody needs to know about me is I'm a born-again believer of the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is Lord and Savior. I say that everywhere I go. If you forget everything you hear about Jared Hudson today, every story I tell, every goofball thing or serious thing, Jared Hudson is a born-again believer in Christ. He is Lord and Savior. And the most important thing is that the Scriptures call Him Lord many more times than it calls Him Savior. But He is also Savior, as it talks about in Jeremiah, where He took up His own strong arm of salvation. I'm sorry, Isaiah, where He took up His own strong arm of salvation. Isaiah 59 and Jeremiah 29, where it says He's our dread warrior. So the story I want to tell about Him real quick, y'all seen the movie Troy, right? Y'all seen the movie Troy, Been Brad Pitt? Shame on you. It's rated R. Thought you was a Christian. No trap. Listen, if you watched it at home, it's okay. There is forgiveness in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But Big Achilles goes in and he hits that dude all the way to the heart with that sword at the start of the movie.
Have you watched it?
Oh, yeah, I watched it. Yeah.
Oh, you're one of those guys that likes to pick up stones.
That was before he was saved.
Pick up stones and throw them.
Sorry.
Yeah. But he hits him to the heart, right? And he kills that big dude, and he goes before the armor, and he says, "Is there no one else?" That is a dread warrior. That is what Jesus Christ did for us. That's what He did for you. If you're watching it or if you're listening right now, Jesus Christ killed sin and death, and His revelation says, not revelations, revelation
they don't hurt
says,
anybody's feelings now.
As it says,
like Walmart's.
Yeah. He got the keys to sin and death, and He is an absolute conqueror. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. I believe that about the person of Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life, died, rose again on the third day for my sins and yours, and through Him we're set free. So I always start off with that.
Okay.
Now, with that being said, as a Christian young man, I felt a calling to go into the SEAL teams. We can get into that later, but I go to the SEAL teams. I get out of the SEAL teams, come back here to the great state of Alabama as I went through a kind of a medical retirement process and got into wildlife work, never done it before. I was really good at finding deer because I'm a good old boy from Alabama, could spotlight them. I got a call, come find this deer. Dart bounced out of it. So I go up, we spotlight, I find the deer. I see the white belly against some thin snow and go slipping up to it, slip my jacket off, slip my shoes off to get quiet and everything. And I had a ketamine hand injection with me. I was just going to jump on him, hit him with ketamine, pull a sock over his face, and just lay there and hold him for a little bit until... Whisper sweet nothings in his ear, right? So I get up to the deer, straddle over him, slipped all the way up on him, and about the time I'm going to lean down on him and drop and make sure we get him pinned, Old boy goes, whoop, sets up, eyes this big, horns coming up at me. He's a little 10-point buck, like a little piebald buck, had some splotches on him. Buddy, I jump on him, drive him to the ground, that old buck. And so everybody says, hey, so, you know, he took you for a ride. I mean, yeah, kind of, but we were, I had him on the ground, right? Yeah. I had him on the ground. He went up one good time with me, and I was able to pull him back down, but his old feet were getting in the mud and dirt, and we went about 30 yards.
He don't want to be with you.
No, he does not want to be with me. We go about 30 yards and look back. The little biologist kid was with me. He was like, Shay, I was like, go get the shot. Because by this time, I've lost the ketamine injection that I had. Mm-hmm. He runs back to the truck and gets the gun. He's like running. I was like, hey, no gun. This buck, you know, doing all this. And I got him pinned to the ground, and I've got his legs pushed back so he can't get them really going anymore. And the kid's got the gun. I'm like, find the hand injection, not the gun. Yeah. This kid's sure as the world going to shoot. He's going to shoot me. And this gun is a dart gun, right? So it's going to be a drug dart that's going to go in me, and the drug will probably kill me. Not the actual right. bullet, right? So he puts the gun down, finds a shot, comes over. He sticks the deer in the back rear end, the quarter. Mm-hmm. And this buck takes him a little while to settle down. I laid on it for about 20 minutes, you know, maybe 30 at the most. I mean, I was shivering. I told that guy to bring me my jacket, wrapped it over me, put the sog over his face, rubbing his head. Was sorry. And that deer went out. So anyway, we take him in to the vet. They're going to have his surgery, and then they're going to release him in the wild. Go out, do more work. It takes about an hour. Come back in to release this deer. And the vet looks at me and says, hey, brother, where'd you shoot that deer at? And I said, no, I didn't shoot him. I hit him with one ketamine injection, 2 cc's of ketamine.
Somebody else shot him.
I don't know where they shot him at, but he has 2 cc's of Telazol in him. That's mm-hmm. what the gun shoots. Yeah. And he said, no, that deer didn't have a dart shot on it. What? And he said, you rolled up on a sleeping deer, bro. So
that's why he looked so crazy at you.
Bro, that's why he set up.
Yeah.
Whoop! And it was, the fight was on. And let me tell you, I've fought a lot of men. I have never fought a grown man that fights like a white-tailed deer, a white-tailed 10-point.
Dude. Full adrenaline.
Brother.
To think that you slipped up on a sleeping deer.
That's the impressive part to
me. Is impressive. You learned some things.
I don't know if I'd go that far, you know.
No, you went that far. You just creeped.
I mean, I creeped on that thing. I took my boots off in the snow. I'm in my socks. I took my jacket off so I could hear and just trying to keep it quiet. I mean, we crunched all the way up on him. I got my foot right in front of his belly and my other foot right behind his back. Now, with that being said, whether he was a darted or not is irrelevant. He fought like he wasn't darted, and the dang vet that did the surgery on him said he wasn't darted.
I'm going to tell you right now, I was nervous before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm even more nervous to know this man.
We just gonna move that.
slipped up on old big boy buck laying there asleep.
I mean, did you learn that is part of the SEALs training a slip class?
No, it ain't no slip class. No, it ain't no like slipping. I mean, I was on recce team and the SEAL teams, and I could. We'd do body work, climb up buildings, and slip around and set up snipers around, you know, because I was a sniper, lead sniper. And we would slip around a good bit, I mean, and be right by folks. They wouldn't even know it. Wake them up with a hand over your mouth, knife to their neck sort of thing on nods. So, like, we would do that.
That is slip class.
I mean, that is slip, but we didn't have no slip class. We just did it. Yeah, we just did it.
That making me nervous. Hey, tell me what you whispered in the ear like you did that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You would be dead if I wanted you.
But no, that was a lot. That was fun work.
Both
was a lot of fun, but the deer was definitely very enjoyable work from a guy who grew up deer hunting everything. Go to SEAL teams, get out, and now be able to work wildlife, which I. I didn't have a wildlife degree, had a master's in business, not in, you know, biology master's like these other guys. So just being able to be brought into that was super cool, man.
That is pretty neat.
Well, you've pulled back the curtain just a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of let the Navy name out of the bag.
Oh, okay.
So that we know a little bit, this is making more sense now. And you're actually, the next story you have for us is taking us into that world, right?
It's a little humorous one, huh?
Yeah, so beforehand, you know, before I did this wildlife work, I was in the Navy. I was a SEAL, became a SEAL, and long story short, we're on a deployment one time, and this will be a fun story, right? Mm-hmm. This is combat deployment. A buddy of mine who's from – Alabama, we're getting shot out of this compound, all right? And we did some stuff, I should say. And all of the stuff we did is now being left behind. And then we've got the one thing that we needed, and we got it out. And so he's one of the last guys at the compound. I was on a roof, just talking about the recce work as a sniper. I'd put a ladder up, me and this other guy, Paco, we climbed the roof, set up a little overwatch. In the process of that, we get into a little gunfight, a little tick, and my nods go out. So my night vision, when I couldn't see, and we're getting shot at pretty heavily. Guys around the compound anyway. So guy pulls in, and I won't use guys' names, but anyway, he's boom, 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 shooting with the big Modus on the back of the truck.
At you?
No, not at us. Okay, this is our guys shooting at the guys across the way that's shooting at us.
Okay.
And at nighttime, now on nods, it would flood your nods out. I can't see nods, so I just see this big flame light up from this Modus, and then it goes out and it goes dark, and then it lights up. So I'm seeing shadows of guys moving around because, again, without getting into it, so we don't have to make any cuts or anything with our audience, my nods went out.
Yeah, right, right.
So I'm looking down, and I see I can't use his name, but he's from Alabama. And he's running out of the compound. I'm talking full tilt.
Yeah.
I'm talking hard nosed as hard as you can. And on nods. And I'm sitting there looking at him. I see it flash up. I'm like, oh, that's so-and-so. I could tell by the way he's running. He's got his rifle up in there. And he runs out. And the way it's sitting. So if this is like, we didn't use Humvees a lot. But anyway, when we use this Humvee or this truck, and we'd use RGs and all this stuff, it doesn't matter. But the back corner of the truck would be here. And it's right by the gate. He's running out of the compound. I'm talking, he runs full slap tilt into the back of that truck. God. And when he hits, I can still barely see him. His hands and his feet were running
still moving.
As he falls back on the ground. And I'm with Paco, and Pac says, he said, hey, man, what was that? And we got guns and everything going off, but it sounded like Thor's hammer hit the side of that truck. Mm-hmm. And I looked, I said, bro, I think, name the guy. I don't know, man. It looked like he ran into the back of the truck, but I can't hardly see. And I can see him on the ground rolling around. He kind of rolls over and he's slowly getting up, you know, and I can see him shaking his head and he stands up and his helmet's all cattywampus. And I'm seeing him light up and go down every time this guy shoots a 5-7 round burst. And then he just kind of runs off in the distance and runs around. And I said, all right, well, hey, everybody's out. Pac, cover me. My nods are out. I'm going to climb down, and then I'll hold for you when I get down here where I can see a little bit. And so I climb down. Pac's holding, and I said, hey, I'm good. He climbs down. We get the ladder, throw it in the truck. We go. This old boy, the next day, his eyes
black.
Nose cut open. He broke his nods too.
while they were on his face.
While they're on his face. I'm talking ran full tilt in the back of that truck, the back corner of that truck. And the only thing I can think is and even talking to him is like, bro, I couldn't see anything. Every time that stupid Modus would light up, flood out your nods, and you can't see that. You can't see corners and angles as well. Your depth perception is bad anyway on night vision, unless you're running the panoramics, and that still doesn't help greatly with depth perception. It just allows you to get peripheral. But anyway, that's a lot of most of your injuries that people get in combat a lot of times
are self-inflicted
that. Actually, the most common injury for team guys is a cut with your own knife. Cutting zip ties or cutting cuffs off somebody or whatever, you know, the zip cuffs, cutting yourself with your own knife.
Old buddy gave you a little humor in a moment that most people would sit there and say, I can't laugh at that. But you probably laughed.
Bro.
Bro,
oh my gosh, man. It was the funniest thing. And Pac was like, what is that? I'm like, I think he ran into the back of the truck. He looked over and was like, holy crap, dude.
It didn't give. That was the story.
No, it did not give at all. I mean, you got to think it's an up armored truck. It's metal, and so it stops bullets.
And a
210 pound, 6'2" Navy SEAL.
Yes, sir.
Did he fess up?
Oh, yeah, no, he straight up told. No, he didn't care. And I was like, dude, it was honestly the most amazing thing was watching him roll around the ground. He had a bad concussion.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about a TBI. He's like rolling around. He's like, he said, dude, I saw stars, man. He said, I was trying to see. I was like, oh, man, I got to get up, hear everything going on around him. Just the tenacity to get up and move on was amazing.
That is impressive. Yeah. Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's good to have a little bit of humor in.
That's a bad situation to be in, to run in a truck.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
I don't want it to be too heavy, but this is the same thing with law enforcement here. So I'm a Blount County deputy, right? So I want to hear the great Mark Moon. You know, y'all like Mark. Everybody like Mark in here? Mm-hmm. And Mark's a good dude, all right? So, yeah, but if y'all don't like him, you know, we can make fun of him a little bit. I was actually talking to him on the way over here.
Wait a minute. We make fun of people we like.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So whether I think it goes both ways.
There you go. So I got sworn when I left full-time law enforcement and started my business in the nonprofit. I got sworn over here with Mark Moon, work on the TAC team with him, do child exploitation, and just a great sheriff's office to work for. But recently, and y'all have probably heard it in the news, and he just put a reward out for the guy that it's a cartel linked or cartel connected illegal immigrant who killed, not too far down the road from where we're at right here, an officer of the courts, a bail bondsman serving a bond revocation on this guy. He shot him. Y'all hear about that?
I heard that.
So that guy's son, and the only reason I tell this story is because his son asked, he said, I haven't heard any much media about it. You have a platform. Can you tell it? So I try to tell this in most places I go. This guy was a Navy veteran. He was 73 years old. Him and his wife lived on a fixed income. And he started serving bond revocations again after Christmas because they couldn't make it right now. Him and his wife were struggling making it. So we're like, Dad, look, you're 73. Do something else. His son's a law enforcement officer. And he's like, I'm going to get back into it. And this guy is hunting down people and taking them back to wherever they, jump bail at. He works for a bonds company, doing good work. An officer of the courts, making sure that they get the fugitives from justice, because a lot of times a bond revocation, I think this guy's was a DUI. Now he's, a fugitive on the run for murder. All that being said, this guy was not a Navy SEAL like Chuck Keating. Mm-hmm. He wasn't deployed to Afghanistan or to Northern Iraq or Syria. This guy was a officer of the courts, serving a bond revocation in Blount County, Alabama, not too far down the road from where we sit right here. And he shows up to a guy's house and he winds up getting shot and killed as he's doing his job. Oh, and by the way, a job that he's doing because they can't even afford to make ends meet. They live on a fixed income. He's a father. He's a grandfather. He's a great-grandfather. And he's a Navy vet. And so I tell that story to say, just because we see the stuff in the news and we hear about these heroes that give their lives overseas, this man is making sure that we have peace and security here within our own community. And he goes and he hunts down a guy that he didn't know at the time, but winds up being a cartel member, or at least a cartel affiliate, right? And a cartel affiliate of JNG, who just got taken over in Mexico. They just killed Mincho, the leader of that cartel affiliate right here in one of our communities. There are men and women who also stand in the gap right here for us every day and every night, and we don't even realize it. Mm. We don't even realize it goes on, and this guy gave his life, and he's working because he has to work.
Yeah.
And he's serving the people, but he's working because he has to work. And I think that you probably have listeners, y'all probably know people that do the same thing. And again, it's incumbent on us to remember, whether military service, whether law enforcement service, that freedom ain't free. Mm-hmm. Our ability to transit up and down the road without having to face what the people in Iran have been facing over the last, 40 years or, since 1970, however long that is, or what people in Mexico have experienced that were in that cartel mountainous region that they just took over last week. Everybody can look at the news. We are able to live in freedom here in Alabama, here in the United States of America, because of men and women like that who are willing to give their lives so that you can continue to live yours. Mm-hmm. And that's an important thing to remember.
Amen. And you said you had one more, though.
Yeah. We can wrap this up with a good light law enforcement story. How about that? Okay. That'll be when I first got brought into law enforcement. I was over at Shelby County Sheriff's Office full time, and there was this dude who he ran away. He was half hooked up. He had a wrist on one cuff. The guy was with him, and he took off and ran from the deputy and got away. So now he's escaped three or whatever they charged him with, you know. So he's now an escaping felon. I forgot what he was charged with on the front end. Probably felony level drugs or something like that. I can't remember. But either way, he's running around, and people are calling in. They're seeing him bouncing all over that area of Shelby County. I come into shift that night. And I put my car in park, and I walk out into this little gully over off of 119. I took my pistol belt off. I laid it down. I took my radio off. I turned it off. This was right as shift was getting going. I'd already checked in. And I sat down on my knees right there, and I said, God, all I'm asking before you that you let me get this guy tonight. Don't care what time, don't care when, let me get this guy tonight. And, went to the woods to pray, took all my stuff, put my stuff back on, walk out. And so I start walking around. I find his buddy, and I wind up getting his buddy's information. And I said, look, if he calls you back, come back here, you call me or you text me. And so we're driving around trying to follow where this guy went, trying to find him. And the one thing I learned, all these other deputies are in their car riding around. Now it's dark, right? And they're in their car riding around with lights and stuff. No, not me. My car is parked. And I've walked like 2 miles through the woods of this area where he ran through. And I'm walking around. I'm looking in people's back sheds, knocking on doors, asking them, saying, hey, have y'all seen this guy? And you know, we heard he was on the loose, so we're looking for him. So if, you know, contact me. And I'd give him a card with my number on it. So I'm handing. Well, I get a call from his buddy. And I'm down 119, 2 miles from my car. I get a call from his buddy. He says, hey, he just called me. He's going back to his van. He had a van that he had parked out there. And he said, I said, Roger that. And, I go out to 119, and I wave down to this dude in this F-350, the size of this room, jacked up, pulls over, and he says, had a big old dip in.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, buddy, what are you doing out here in the road? I mean, just a good old boy. I said, brother, I'm trying to catch a bad guy, and I need a ride right now. Can you take me to my car? He said, where's your car at? And I said, it's parked down the road, man. Can you give me a ride? I won't say what he said, but he said, yeah. Mm-hmm. I hopped in the road. He's like, this is great, man. Hey, this is my number. Let me know if you catch this bad guy. And he drops me off by this thing, and I hide in the bushes. I'm over here waiting, watching this dude's car. And sure enough, here comes this little dude sleuthing and slinking around, slinks up into his car, gets in it, run out, able to, you know, give him a love tap or two, pull him out of the car, hook him up, and put him in jail. So I was asked, how in the world did you find that guy? And I was able to say, started off the shift, went into the woods a little bit, sat down and prayed that God would give mm-hmm. me the ability to find him. And what happened? But the Lord blessed with the proceeds of catching a criminal in a community and making sure that he got put in jail. Not just any criminal, a criminal who also ran away from law enforcement as he's being hooked up by law enforcement, right? So if he's willing to do that, what's he willing to do to our family? So pretty funny story of the God of God providing in a way that we don't normally think of God providing. So I know we're going to talk more about that in scripture time, but no matter where you're at in your life, whatever you're doing, any provision you have that creates success in your life is going to be from the hand of God. And oftentimes any failures that we have is going to be because of our own sin and the things that we don't do appropriately. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have found that guy had I not given it up to the Lord at the start of that.
Pray first.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good thing to do.
I just want to point out that probably would have changed the outcome of the deer story if you would have tried that first.
If I'd have tried praying first? Yeah.
Before
yeah.
you got the deer.
Please, God, don't let this deer tune me up. Yeah, that's right.
Don't let him gore me right in between the eyes.
Yeah, but God even looks out for us in our stupidity sometimes.
Yeah, bad times. Lord. Amen to that. That's pretty good.
Let's have the gift. We got a gift.
Oh, we do have a gift.
And then I want to come back, and before we get into scripture time, I want to give Jared an opportunity to share something that's on his heart.
A little conviction, huh?
A little conviction.
Dear Hayden, Alabama podcast team, crew. I love your show. I hope you guys can find a use for these. I think it's pretty self-explanatory what they are. My wife and I run a small leather business in central Kentucky called 2MR Rodeo and Ranch Gear. If you ever get up this way, give us a shout. I know Mr. Jared knows what that is.
What is this, Jared?
Well, it looks like a nice leather holster right there.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that right there is real nice.
That is top notch, man.
Guess how many we got?
How many you got? Three?
So guess
That's
what?
That's perfect.
Yeah, see, it is.
Now y'all got to get some pistols to go with.
Yeah. Oh, I got one. It's just not on the table.
There you go.
Well, that's really that, nice. Man. Would you like to have that one?
I would love to have this one.
I think
thank
Mr.
you.
Michael would be very proud for you to have that.
And tell him thank you very much, and thank you for keeping this country running with small business.
Yep. We appreciate the gift, the letter. We appreciate you watching the show, it all the things.
Yes, yeah, it's for real. Really that's good, the yeah. real deal leather.
Yeah, it is the real deal.
Mm-hmm. Taking it all in over here.
Before you share your conviction, hold on. I wish we had 4 hours, but we don't. We just don't have 4 hours. But being a podcaster who listens to podcasts, you were on one week in and week out. Sean Ryan is top five, top 10, most of the time top one of all podcasts in the United States. And you were on his show.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite moment. Favorite, just give me the quick moment from that show that you just enjoyed the most.
Favorite moment was when Sean looked at me. I forgot what we were talking about, but he said, hey, you've said that a few times. What do you mean when you say that God spoke to you? In his mind, he was thinking about in his question. I know what he was thinking because he told we'll talk after, you know, whatever 45 minute breaks. We'll go and talk for a little bit. And he said, I'm thinking like, you know, coming to you through the so Paul moment, right? He didn't say Paul moment, but he's audible. Like God speaking audible. Like that's what do you mean you knew God spoke to you? And I didn't really know how to answer what he meant. But the Lord quickly gave me a word, and it was just, I said, it's like your wife. Your wife can be saying something to you, but because you know her so well. I've been married for 17 years. We know each other so well. I know what she's saying without her ever saying it. And I said, that's what I mean when God spoke to me. He could speak audibly. He could speak in a dream. He could speak through another person.
Yeah.
You see,
through his word.
How do you make sure that all of those things are God? You do it because you know his word.
Yeah.
And what does Jesus say? I didn't say this on the Sean Ryan podcast. I wish I would have, but he says, my sheep know my voice.
Yeah.
They know the voice of the shepherd. And so that was probably the coolest moment is being able to finally get to, because it was a hard question to answer. It caught me off guard. You know, how do you know God spoke to you? It is because I have a relationship with him. I'm in his word every day. I'm praying to him every day. And he doesn't have to audibly come and speak to me. He doesn't have to speak to me in a dream or through another person. Although he can use all of those things, and as long as it matches his word, he is absolutely 100% speaking. And being able to share that with Sean and other that people, cool. I think, was a really cool thing. That was probably my favorite moment of the whole show.
I didn't prep you for that, but you did a really good job.
Oh, good, yeah. Thank you.
Definitely on the spot.
One more honest question before you share your conviction. I have always been in a state of admiration for anybody who went through Navy SEAL
100%.
Training. I remember it was this mysterious, you know, when we were younger, it was this mysterious thing. Nobody could know about it. But then I think they let somebody in there to do some filming and get an insider view into what you guys go through. I've watched that because it's just interesting to me. I love to see anytime the human body is pushed to the limits. It interests me. And that's what obviously y'all go through clearly. But take me to that.
Almost breaking point.
I know this may be boring to you, but I promise it's not for me. You're in this time frame of becoming a Navy SEAL. You know, people are ringing bells. They're just trying to make you quit every second.
Was there a point?
Was there a point where you almost broke? And can we know that? Can we go back there with you?
Yeah. No, I mean, there wasn't a point where I almost broke. There was never an option to quit. And most of your guys you'll talk to from the SEAL teams, like
you're
most
gonna
of
kill
them,
me if I leave.
There might be times where you think I'm not going to make it, or how am I going to do this, or it's man, this is just absolutely terrible, right?
Yeah.
There are those times, but I don't know anybody who has ever entered their mind to quit. Now you do think about, man, if I was to quit right now, I could have a warm shower and I wouldn't be out here freezing to death, hypothermia, whatever. But no, I can't think of a very specific moment where it was like, I'm going to quit. there were those moments where like, they're going to have to kill me. And I think we're at the verge of death, right? So there is that. But no, nothing to quit. And here's the important thing. Everybody thinks that training makes you who you are. But hey, they trained you to be this way. They did not. And the psalmist talks about it. David talked about, you knit me in my mother's womb. You knew who I was before I was even made. God created this. And the beautiful thing about Budge training, about SEAL training, about sniper school from the SEAL teams, about development group, going over to green team and being selected for special mission unit out of the SEAL teams. All of these different selection processes that you go through. In Budge training, they're not training you to be anything. They are finding out who is that person. Mm-hmm. And when they find you out, they then train you. Mm-hmm. And so that is what it was. So that we had 366 that started in class 264. Those of us that went through Hell Week, I can't remember how many it was, but of everybody that started with 264 and finally graduated and got a SEAL Trident. So I actually graduated with 267. I got rolled back from injuries. And I graduated and got a Trident, went to a SEAL team. From 366 that started, 32 was how many actually graduated and got a Trident. And they didn't all graduate and get a Trident with that class.
10%?
10%, yeah, about 10%.
They cut 90% of those
people. They cut 90%. And it doesn't matter how big the class is. You can have 1,000 people, 100 of them are going to make, 100 of them are going to become SEALs. And that's what the training, that is what they're doing. It's not even training. It's a selection process.
It's a cutting.
It's a cut. That's all they're doing. It's cutting. It is. Finding out
who
God made to be this person. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you're not made. It's fine. If you're not made to be that person, go be who God made you to be. And I will say that's one problem with our culture as a whole that I learned from Buds. You might not be made to be this. You might be made to be something. Be the best you that you can be because God made you for a very specific reason.
I like that. Yeah.
And that's what that revealed to me. Yeah.
That's what I would have said to myself if I rung the bell. I was like, it's just not who God made me.
That's right. That's it. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I'm not following the Lord's command.
God, I'm going to get in there what God made me do. God did make me eat a lot of donuts. I do donuts. Yeah.
He's really good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good at eating donuts. Yeah. God cut you out of that cloth, didn't he?
He knitted me in my mom's belly.
That's what I'm talking about.
He gave him the stomach. And the pancreas.
Dude, that's what I'm really talking about.
Make that work.
Man.
Share your conviction with us. Those were two. I had to know those.
You didn't. There's great questions. I'm running for U.S. Senate. So I've gotten involved in the political world because I believe that we need change. We need real warriors representing us in Washington. Mm-hmm. Without going too much into that, not making it political, one thing I've learned about this political environment that I'm in right now is that it is unbelievably dark and wretched. 100%. I know we see it on the outside and we can't put our finger on it, but I believe I can put my finger on it, or at least a part of it from what I've experienced. I work in human trafficking, and when I say dark and wretched, I'm talking the way I feel in this political world is even worse than I feel when we arrest individuals who are showing up to buy children. So, as I'm talking about that, the biggest issue I've seen, James chapter 2 says that partiality is sin. James chapter 3 says where selfish ambition and desire exist, where partiality exists every form of evil. And that is the thing that has been the largest conviction to me as I'm running for U.S. Senate. We're having great success right now. But as I'm going through this process, meeting the politicos, meeting the people in the political world, and seeing how partial they are to certain people and not to others. And it's exactly what Jesus talks about when he says, don't ever tell this person over here, come up here so that we can elevate you because of what you can gain from them, and tell this poor person, get away from me, go sit over there. But that is what they do. And James says where that exists every form of evil. And the last piece I'll leave you with is so many of these politicians that I've run into, and a lot of them are decent folks. They claim to be Christians. Maybe they are, maybe they ain't. But one thing that I've seen is that they're selling access. And so it's not that they get bought by money going into their pocket. They get elected to give access to certain groups or certain people, and it doesn't matter who it is, as opposed to the people they're elected to represent. It's partiality. Mm-hmm. It's selfish ambition. They are going for a job as opposed to serving the people. And that is the thing that I've been convicted the most about in this time in my life as I'm running, is to make sure God provide a way for us to have victory, if that's what you have, but make sure that I'm not partial to anybody. And if I ever am, reveal it to me so that I can stop it immediately, and making sure that it's not selfish ambition, that I'm not selling access to Jared Hudson to the highest bidder. Mm-hmm. And I'm only serving the people that I'm elected to represent, because scripture tells us that when you have a righteous leader in place, when you have righteousness reigning, that the people rejoice. Tells us that in Proverbs. But when an evil leader is in place, what happens? The people groan and the people struggle. And we are facing that right now. And the last thing I'll leave you with, because going to the U.S. Senate being one of 100 is, what kind of difference can you make? I can tell you all this because you're believers. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One out of 100 in the U.S. Senate who is actually righteous, who is not partial, who is putting Christ first and everything, and who is making sure that I might not make everybody happy, but I'm going to serve with justice and righteousness, that righteous man praying on behalf of those that he's elected to serve and all those other people can avail much. That is my conviction over the last few months of my life.
Wow.
We have not, besides Shane's running, talking about running for governorship, we have, and he actually got a plaque.
I got a plaque.
And that looks like that'll be about all that he's going to get.
Hey, man, it looks good, which bro. Is, what are you talking about?
Which is a lot.
Let me set this
up. Dude, that's what I'm talking about. Here. Give it the honor it deserves. Yeah. Put it over here with a pistol.
Let's just go ahead and I'm going to give Shane an opportunity. I'm going to give Shane an opportunity to maybe give an update on his governorship before I say what I'm going to say about politics.
It's not going as well as Jared's run for Senate.
I think he's already done a little more than you have.
He's doing a great job.
Yeah,
I have some support.
Are you on the ballot?
Not near as much support as you do.
Well, that's what he's fixing to get to.
Oh, okay. All right.
I didn't make it on the ballot.
Oh, amen.
I'm sorry to let everybody down.
Here's Shane. Let me just step in here for just a second.
I have an opportunity to run as independent.
Let me tell you about my boy right here. I've been knowing Shane since I've been knowing folks, and he lives his life thinking he's just gonna sashay into every situation,
right in,
and it's gonna work out, and I'm just gonna. And that's how he approached the governorship. He thought, there'll be a day and I'll write my name down and they'll say, oh, well, here's another candidate for governor.
There's a lot to it.
No, that ain't how it worked, bro.
There's a lot to it, isn't
there? He found that out.
Yeah, there's a lot to
it. You got to report stuff and like put in like all these.
It's like real adult things.
Like all kind of stuff. Yeah.
You got to pay like $3,500 to be on the GOP ballot.
It's crazy.
He wasn't going to do it. He didn't have a clue about any of that. And he's just going to run for governor. But anyway, so unfortunately, Shane Thomas will not be the governor of Alabama in 2026.
But my plaque says otherwise.
But he does have a plaque. We're going to go to scripture time, and you don't have to worry about it. You still got a full head of hair.
Yeah, he got good hair. Man, that's what I'm talking about.
I believe with Brother Terry, we were in Philippians. I'm pretty sure we were, right? It's been a long week ago. A lot's happened since then. But we're going to go on down a little further in Philippians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 23 and 24 for you guys. So this is Philippians 1, 23, 24. Paul writing, but I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Hmm. Bare bones here. Paul is he's in a tough spot. We call that being in a tough spot. He's in the middle. Mm-hmm. He has a desire to depart from this earth and be with Christ forever. He also has a desire to glorify Christ in his body with his talents, with what God's made him to be. And he's just saying, I don't know which one, but I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. So that's my first question for you guys and for you guys. First question. Is this where you are? And if not, what keeps you from being there? Are you caught up in the middle? Do you try to stay right there in the middle where it's okay? If I go on, I'm happy because I'm going to be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. But also thinking about serving him every day.
You want to start? You want me to start?
You asked it a different way earlier.
I need to do it a different way?
No, how did you ask it earlier? Didn't you have it written down? In a...
Oh, I got a good follow-up.
Oh, that's okay. I didn't know if that was the same question.
No, this is just, so the thought is, if, so let me give you a
book. I can give you an answer. I mean, I see what you're saying. So, Job 13:15 says, though he slay me, I will trust him. Mm. Even if he kills me, I'm going to trust him. What did Jesus say? Father, please let this cup pass from me.
But.
Not my will, but your will be done.
Yeah.
What are we called to do? We are called to trust God.
Yeah.
The old song, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. That is what we're supposed to do, and that's what Paul is doing. That's what he's talking about here. Mm-hmm. He is trusting and obeying God. He's already said, he said, hey, look, I have run my race. I've been stoned. I've been shipwrecked. I've been bit by a dang snake out of a woodpile.
Pretty wild.
Everything that he went through, I have suffered more than anybody, but mimic me as I mimic Christ. And it's not arrogance that's saying that. It is him saying, I have given everything. Christ showed me everything that I need to suffer for him. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Is it 2 Corinthians 12:9? My grace is sufficient for you. My strength will be made perfect in your weakness. Why? For the three times that Paul said, take this thorn out of my side. God is giving him that. And he says, I'm worn out. I will continue to serve as long as I'm here, but I win if I die too. I got a buddy, Stuart Hartley, who works with me. He's a law enforcement officer, Army fellow. And anyway, he works in our company with us, Covenant Rescue Group. And he says it all the time. He said, everybody's like, man, it's like you're not scared of nothing. He said, I'm not. Because if I die, I win because I'm reunited with Christ, or I'm united with Christ. If I win, then I win, you know, and I'm still here with my wife and kids. You can't lose as a Christian. I think that's what Paul is saying. When you put him first, last scripture, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I think that that's what it's telling us.
Yeah.
Are you willing to trust and obey God and put him first in everything?
I have been in a place in my life before where I was unhappy. And that song, I thought about that today. There's only one way to be happy in Jesus, and that is through trusting and obeying. Mm. And I believe Paul, he was happy and content with where he was because he was trusting and obeying. And I think depression, unhappiness, a lack of joy is running rampant in today's society. For so many Christians, people that confess as believers, because there is no happiness when you're not trusting and obeying. You've placed that more on yourself. We've talked a lot about having yourself on the throne as opposed to having God or Christ on the throne. And I think if you're here tonight, you're listening to this, and you're unhappy, and you don't have that joy, you really need to consider: am I trusting and obeying, just as Paul would here, to the point to where if I die or if I stay, I know what the outcome is going to be. I'm going to continue to serve, or I'm going to go home and be with Christ. You have to consider that.
The opposite is not being in the right place. You mentioned a little earlier, being unrepentant, walking away from God, and then something happens to you. You're unsettled. You don't know because you're not in the right place.
Yeah.
Paul's tracking right behind Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Tracking. Like they called you in to track those deer.
Yeah.
He is tracking.
Mm-hmm.
So if something happens, what? There's going to be no surprises.
Yeah.
Like, I know what's going to happen.
That's right.
I'm right behind Jesus. Where else am I going to go?
Yeah.
That's a great place to be. And I think the enemy just keeps people from that place for different things. Yeah. And that's what I say this. You've mentioned depression, anxiety, all these things that are very prevalent in our society today, inside the believers and outside. We live in a world, unfortunately, that keeps us unsettled, because when we're unsettled is when we buy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
trying to find.
Yeah.
You don't have this and you need this. Mm. And we buy that. Our children buy that. Our young ladies buy that. Our young men buy that. I'm supposed to have this. I'm supposed to have this to wear and this makeup and all these things.
Silent auction. We got trapped in that the other night, didn't we?
Silent auction. You got to have it. Got to have that turkey call that she ain't looked at again.
Ain't ever used.
But seriously, but being just honest, if you could get the opposite of being unsettled because you don't have is being fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Correct. If I don't remember. Yeah, no, women.
Hitting nail on the head.
If
I might get saved again. You're bringing it home, brother. Come on.
If you are constantly filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're constantly filled with Christ, then there's no
room to be unsettled.
That's right. What am I going to be depressed about? Does this look exactly like I thought it would? No, but I'm right behind Jesus.
Yeah.
Look at that. I got chill bones. Hey, man, I'm filled. So I guess this is it. Mm-hmm. So why am I going to be depressed? I'm right where I need to be. I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to be anxious because God's got me whether I live or whether I die.
Yeah.
What am I going to be anxious about?
That's right.
I know where I'm this is high level. This is deep. Mm-hmm. And this isn't milk. And I don't expect if you're sitting there going, what are these guys talking about? It's okay.
Yeah.
Because this is, Paul was at a place that unless the Lord tarries and continues to grow me at a very rapid rate place, I'll never get there. I don't think I'm ever going to be here.
I don't know many people ever get there.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
Yeah, it's a mark.
I admire this because the heading of this is part of my sermon, the heading of this point that I just read you for this scripture is to desire Christ more than earth.
Mm. Yeah.
Desire Christ more than the world. Anything in this world, you want Christ more than anything.
Well, you know, when you look at the story of Jacob and Esau, you know, and then you hear it talks about it in not just at the end of the Old Testament, is it Micah that talks about it, but also in the New Testament, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. And when you look at that story in Genesis, the terminology is Jacob, I had a covenant relationship with. Esau, I did not. And when you learn about Esau, why did God not have a covenant relationship with Esau? Because he desired the things of the earth. He desired the things that he took wives from the Canaanites, which drove his mother crazy. If you even look at the Jewish history behind it, Esau killed Nimrod. And when he was running from the men that were looking from him, Nimrod, y'all know Nimrod, who was mm-hmm. mighty hunter before the Lord, right? The Tower of Babel. He's running from those men in Jewish history, right? Jewish legend. And that's when he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup to his brother Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And
old schemer.
He was the old schemer Jacob, who got schemed by Laban, his father-in-law. But when you look at it, Esau desired the things of this world. Cain brings an offering before God. We know this. It tells us this in Jude and in Titus, for that matter. It says that, you know, he brought the unrighteous offering, and Abel offered a righteous offering. In Genesis 4:6, what does God tell him? He says, Cain, why are you sad? Why are you downtrodden? Why are you anxious? Why are you upset? Don't you know if you do what is right, it will be well with you?
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, sin is lying in wait at your door, but you should rule over it. And this is what Paul is talking about here. And the only way we can rule over that sin is that relationship with God is in the person of Jesus Christ. And when you have that, you will never again be looked at and say, what is wrong with you? Don't you know if you do what is right? What is right? Accepting who Christ is, what he did for us on the cross. And so if you are listening to this and you don't understand, it's extremely simple. Jesus says, you're going to have troubles in the world, but don't fear. I have overcome the world. Mm-hmm. The world feels like it's an unstoppable force moving around us, and it is. Everything around us is an unstoppable force. When you are surrounded by an unstoppable force, become an immovable object. Latch yourself to the immovable Amen. Object of Jesus Christ, and there's nothing in this world that can shake you. And that's the
anchored.
Story of the house built on the rock as opposed to the sand.
Get
so
anchored.
That is, man, that's powerful, man. You got me fired up now.
Hey, man, we love to talk about Jesus.
I think about the three Hebrew children and how when they were faced with that decision.
You turned them in the fire.
Yeah.
Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, yeah.
And the
Azariah, Mishael, Ananiah, their Hebrew names.
And they said, names,
yeah. What's the deal with your memory?
He's got it. Man,
you really do have a great memory.
It's not that
I
good.
I'm just going to take him at his word because otherwise I'm going to have to get the Bible.
It is. Yeah, it is.
It is. That's right. Look at him going back. But you think about those three having to stand and say, I don't know that he will deliver us.
That's right.
But I still ain't bowing.
Man, we ain't going to bow to you. Man, unbelievable.
What strength and trust that takes. But I thought about, as there's three of us sitting here tonight, how important it is to have like-minded friends that when it comes down to it, when it comes down to time to stand on God's word, if you're trying to do it alone, Paul had some friends, but he was in prison by himself writing some of these letters, and he probably felt alone sometimes. You think? Just by himself.
Absolutely.
How much more strength it is, and to be able to look, if I could look you in the face and look you in the eye and say, we're standing. We're standing.
We're going in, I guess.
We're going to the furnace.
Well, and Jesus said, he said a cord of three strands is not easily broken.
That's right.
He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst of them. So there is the community of believers that creates strength.
Amen.
But even Joshua says it, do what you want to do.
Yeah.
As for me and my house, we'll follow the Lord. And that's an important, especially for us as men. Mm-hmm. We got our houses. And in a world that wants to take our authority and our house away, it's unbelievably important to make sure that we're under the headship of Christ.
Absolutely.
As our wife is under our headship and as our children are under her headship and making sure that we're good here. Because if we ain't good here,
guess what?
You're going to probably have chaos in your house.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a conviction Shane and I have talked about recently, and we're kind of all over the place, I guess, with this now. But
we're going to preach the Bible tonight, okay?
Genesis, we'll stop maybe in Revelation.
But
seriously, Shane and I have been bothered about men, godly men, recently. How do we help godly men to realize their rightful place as Christ ordered in the household? Because that's what's been taken away.
Yeah.
Men have been made to feel a certain this, a certain that. And the reason that they were able to do that is because they went outside of God's design.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you're either going to stand on this or you're not. Everything in here you can look at and you can logically argue against it. You can say, well, that doesn't sound right, though.
Yeah, but that's not fair.
Yeah, that doesn't really work out.
Fair. Well, sorry.
I can't answer that,
but
I can answer that God wrote this and he's the one that created this whole place. So we're either going to stand on this or we're not. That's where you got to go.
Yeah.
That's where it has to fall, is right there. This is God. Is this God's word? If it is, are we going to follow it? Yes. And so I think we would love to see men fall up under Christ. That's the key part. Not just be a Western John Wayne. We're not talking about the latest movie star. We're
You're
talking
not
about
a tyrant.
Falling up under the headship of Christ, really seeking to get there right up under him.
Yeah.
Following him step for step, just like we've talked about, and just like he commanded, I don't know how many times, follow me. And then let everything else fall back up under that and see what could happen in our communities, in our state, in our country.
Yeah. In our churches.
The whole world. It would be unbelievable.
Our communities, our state, our country, the world,
our families,
our women, they need it, they desire it.
It's the design.
Every man's hero, every woman's desire is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you would follow him to the point that you could look back, like Paul said, and say, mimic me as I mimic Christ, not arrogance. That's a heavy weight to carry. That is strong. If he says, I'm following Christ so good that you follow me as I follow Christ, you do that, your wife will have an unbelievable desire for you and fall right behind you. Your kids will fall behind. And as you change your family, you change your community. That's old Admiral McCraven. You know, everybody used to joke and call him Admiral McMake Your Bed, right? Because he had that whole thing. Make your bed every day. It starts with, but he's right. It starts with, am I going to be responsible with this little thing right here? Our family is the most important thing, but it's still, if I can't manage my family, I'm never going to change a community. I'm never going to change a state, a nation, the world. And it's important. And you do that by falling into Christ and then managing the things that he's given you.
I feel like he's about to tell me I got to stop eating the donuts that I talked about. I feel like that's the next direction.
He's pretty physically fit.
I mean, I don't eat donuts. I don't eat donuts. I mean,
I saw those judgmental eyes when he turned to me. Well, you said it, buddy.
He's drinking alkaline water. I mean, if you're drinking alkaline water, your guy's probably caring about what he's doing.
This is just a bottle that my wife gets. Because she'll throw them away every 2 weeks because she starts saying they're gross. But yeah. I love them because you get a lot of water out of them. Yeah,
plenty of water.
Yeah.
Final question, guys, and we're going to land.
Oh, we got another one.
Yeah, we got that. You said it's not even the one. I told you. Sorry. Here it is. But this is quick. Y'all are not. This is going to be a quick answer for you guys because I know where your heart is. But this is for y'all. This is for you and you. For every man, every woman that's still listening right now that has not turned us off because they're like, they've lost. These boys they got Jared on there and they went crazy. So here's the question. If Jesus walked in right now, wherever you were, whether you're sitting in your living room, you're riding in your car, if Jesus all of a sudden is right there and he says, you can come be with me immediately. What would you say?
I want to say yes. There's no stipulation. Like, what about my family?
You're either going to go or you're not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one day with the Lord is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I mean, I seek and desire him. Mm-hmm. But I would say this. Moses said it and Paul said it. He said, I would rather be separated from God and my brethren come to know him, these people come to know you, than to spend eternity with God. And I do think that that is part of my heart.
That's
right. If you'll take everybody home, separate me from you forever. And that's a heavy, heavy thing to say and a heavy weight to carry, but that's what Jesus did. And I think the Jesus inside of you wants to say, take everybody, leave me, if you are truly rooted in God. But I can tell you that desiring God, 100%, take me right now. But that's Paul's hangup. That's Paul's hangup when he says, I'm ready to go to Christ, but if there's work here for me to bring others home. He even said it. I would rather to be count accursed from Christ than my brothers, if that means my brothers get to come to know him. So I think that's my answer. If not going with Jesus now means that everybody here gets to go and be with him, take everybody home, Lord. I think that is the important thing to think about. But if he says, show up right now, and hey, it's just, hey, I'm taking you or I'm leaving you right now.
I'm going. No,
let's go. Let's roll, brother.
I think when you ask that question, Philip, my heart gets heavy immediately, and it's in the way that have I done enough that if that were the case, that I'm leaving with Christ. Have I done enough, or have I explained Christ enough to my children and to my family that they would accept him as well?
That's the Christ in you. That answer, that is Christ in you that has that heaviness.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with me and has everything to do with that exact thing. I 100% believe. And that lets me know that you're a Christian, even with just getting to know you, obviously.
That's interesting. Y'all took that a different direction than the way I intended it.
He told you about, hey, take me home.
No, it's fine. There was no wrong answer. There was no right.
Where did you go with it?
Not deep.
Oh, you went.
Talking, we are on the surface. We are like these knives on this table. It's on the surface. Jesus walks in and he says, I'm ready to take you. Do you want to go or you want to stay? Yeah. Basically, I'm going back to asking this question because desire Christ more than the earth.
Yeah. That's right.
Desire more than the world. Is there something here that, oh, but I haven't seen Rome yet?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, none of that.
I haven't accomplished that. I haven't seen, I hadn't had whatever. You name it.
Yeah.
That's really where I was at.
Selfishly, does my wife and girls, are they going to come to you?
That's right.
My nieces and nephews. Yeah. I do a commentary every year for one of my daughters. I'm doing one for a buddy's daughter this year. Are they going to be able to come to you? So let's go. If I need to stay here and present Christ to them, then I've got to stay. So it has nothing to do with anything on this earth, but it has to do with present his name to everybody I'm supposed to. This is
soul work. You're talking about soul work. I'm talking about just purely your world level. Dude.
The reason why I went there is when you said that, I mean, I'm thinking eternity. Like, if I'm going with Christ, I don't ever want to leave back. So we're talking about for eternity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the work that I was supposed to do here is done at that point in time.
That's where I was struggling.
Yeah, now as far as this earth, man, I'll leave it undone right here. I do not care about anything we got going on. Do not care about this Senate race, about that gun right
there.
You're
not going to stick around and see what the results are.
Could care less, man. I pray, me and my girls pray, like, please, Jesus, return. My oldest did say, hey, Daddy, can we pray that Jesus will return so we can all go together? Because it's 10, 7, and 4. They're scared. They want to make sure they're with mommy and daddy, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but we pray that every night. We're going to pray that Jesus returns while we're here in this house and we all get to go together. But guess what? We'll be reunited together in Him.
Anyway.
Man, forget what's going on here.
So for you out there, take the question however you want. You can go deep like these guys did. You can,
because we love Jesus, bro.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And stay on the surface like I originally. But here's the thing: if you're willing to if you want to take it surface level, here was my heart with the question: if you are claiming that you are a Christ follower, and your mind is still wrestling with something in this world more than it is wrestling with going with Christ, I just want you to really think about that and pray through that. Why is there something in this world that has still got that much pull to you?
Yeah.
So just think about that. I think that would be my one request.
Amen.
And pray through it. Because our boy Paul here, if he's our example,
he didn't have nothing on earth
holding him.
Other than the souls that he was trying
to win. That's right. Yep. That's right.
I feel like y'all can't get away from that.
It hurts me. It hurts me.
Thank God for it that you've got a heart for the lost.
Yeah,
that's because you have Christ in your life. You have a heart for the lost, and the world needs us now.
Hey, and glory to God for that. Yeah. I'm thankful you do. I wish we had an army.
Yeah. But we're ashamed of the fact that you don't want to go with Jesus.
Yeah, we are. We're kind of sad about that. Jared, tonight was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That was a blast. Thanks for having me.
We hope we did you a service because you've obviously done us a service.
No, man. This is great. I think it was awesome. It's just good to get me to sit around and chew the cud with some good dudes.
Did we tell everybody out there that we tried to do this a while back?
We didn't. Mm-mm.
We tried to do this 2 months ago.
Yeah, probably. It was before Christmas.
Before Christmas. And we it was like the guardian angel standing in front of the donkey of Balaam. Like, we could not record with you.
Dude, 100%.
You got the flu. You got this thing
flu,
happened.
Kids going, getting sickness. I mean, we were down for the count in our house for 4 weeks from before Thanksgiving all the way to after Thanksgiving. It wasn't until like the second week of December we kind of recovered.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like one thing after the other. I remember being sick as a dog and being like, guys, like,
this ain't gonna work.
Dude, this ain't gonna work. I'm sorry, fellas. And it was the day of, too. I was trying to make it out here. My wife's like, please don't go. We got one kid throwing up.
Yeah. I need some help.
Yeah.
And so then now, fast forward, I give you less than 24 hours notice, and you're like, I'll be there. 6:00.
And of all the days, this is, I don't do anything on Sundays. I told all the politicos and then on my work and stuff, unless I got guys traveling. Sundays, we go to church, we do the deal, but with this being this podcast and knowing what we had talked about before, and hey, we're going to have a scripture moment. You know, you didn't tell me the scripture ahead of time, and we want to know your. I was like, hey, this is a great way to present the gospel, maybe to people that are listeners that are not gospel centered, and here, just a regular dude who is a Navy SEAL and a cop and does whatever that I do, and then get to hear the gospel from that end. So I'm all about it.
I don't ever want to hear the words regular dude come out of your mouth again, okay?
If you need to say that to stay humble.
That's right.
I'm telling you, man.
Regular sitting over here, all right? Yeah.
Your first, 40 years have not been super regular.
No, that's awesome, though.
We'll see what the rest does.
That's cool.
Well, I'm going to leave you with this. I'm going to leave you with this so that people can hear my heart. I pray that if this is the Lord's appointment for you, and I don't know, that you can maintain the same conviction that you've conveyed on this show. Because let me tell you what, it ain't going to be.
It ain't going to be easy.
We talked about this when we had our first conversation. I told you, I said, I don't like politics because of how nasty it is. It's dirty, filthy. I don't even know past the surface.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if God brings you through it, I hope you stay tethered to Him and that He can keep you filled and carry your convictions.
I appreciate that. I can give you one guarantee. I will. He will. Because when you're rooted in Him, He changes everything about you.
Amen.
That's the truth. Well, I can tell you, a lot of prayer. But anyway, that's going to do it tonight at the Hayden, Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Jared.
We'll see you guys next week.